put it on real tight. Hope you brought your best tonight. They say they got the fireworks, yeah, they say they got the show. You're around the shoots, you're the best, so let's go.
This is Texas Toast. I'm your host, Miss Helen. Kick back and enjoy as we toast the best from Texas.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Texas Toast. I'm Miss Helen. And this week's guest, I was so happy we were able to snag you at the last minute. I want to say welcome to Landon Heights. Hi, Landon.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going good. I'm just going to share with you my story about finding you.
Okay, yeah.
So we were previewing music for our weekly chart countdown, and we preview new music, and I ran across Jamie, and I couldn't stop listening after Jamie. And that was just like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
So you have that out. We're going to dig into that because I want to hear the backstory on that. But you're originally from Temple, Texas. Are you still in Temple?
Yes, right outside of Temple, yeah.
Okay. And so basically, your musical background comes from, you know, your childhood, but I love the fact that you have a heavy Christian gospel music background as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I was in doing Christian gospel for like the last 15, 16 years of my life, just right out of high school. I started traveling all around Texas, Oklahoma, and Arkansas, just kind of the church circuit there. And been going ever since. And then just last year, just through quarantine, I came up with a few country songs that I wrote, some of them with my dad, some of them just kind of personal experiences, and wanted to give those a try as well. But it's really cool to see my church supporting both Christian gospel and the country at the same time. It's really awesome.
Well, and a lot of them go hand in hand. I mean, let's look at how many country artists, Texas country artists right now. I know you teamed up with Curtis Grimes on Raise a Hallelujah, which is gorgeous. And Curtis does a lot of gospel as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's a good one.
Yeah, he was a great relationship to join up with. I think we met him back on New Year's Eve when we played with him in Cameron, and just kind of started a friendship and a bond ever since. So
your first project that you released was a 4-song EP with Soul of a Six String. And that kind of was like maybe just like a tester or appetizer for everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. It was kind of like an introduction to just Texas, to the Texas country scene in general. We just kind of threw those 4 songs out there, and then met Jen Redding, who's our radio promoter. And she really thought Lead Me On would be the good one to start with as far as Texas radio. And that became our first top 50 charter. So we were excited about that.
Yeah. And of course you had Holly Tucker with you on that particular single. So what's the backstory on Lead Me On? Did you write that one?
Yeah. So Lead Me On, it's I always joke about it every night on stage, but this happened about 11, 12 years ago before I even met my wife. And I went to a concert with my sister and some of her friends, and it was a Gary Allen show in Waco. And it just became like a weekend fling with one of the friends who ended up moving to Colorado, and just didn't work out. But there was a lot of feelings there that I had. And just over the quarantine, I just kind of spilled it out on paper and just was kind of a little amazed at what I had. And then I actually shared it with my wife, and she found out who it was for and all this stuff. And she was like, you need to let that out and just get that out to the people so they can hear it. And I was kind of amazed that she wanted me to do that, first of all. So Lead Me On was kind of our first kind of top charter, and kind of got the ground going for us here in Texas country.
Well, I wish I knew your lips taste like an evil kiss. I didn't know your smile would break my heart like this. Oh, as we went to dance, songs about rain. I wish I could have been ready for the end of that day. Lead me on.
Then you had Homecoming Queen, which I absolutely love. Tell me about that one.
Yeah, so that's actually about the same girl from Lead Me On.
And it didn't, I love it.
And it didn't actually mean to happen that way. It just kind of, it kind of came out while I was, because she graduated with my sister and she was the homecoming queen. And turns out that I just kind of spilled another song out of two. It was a
kind of multitask on that songwriting session.
I might have hit some heavy topics that I shouldn't have probably hit with that first EP, but I'm glad I got it out of my system.
Well, I love the beat, love the tune, Homecoming Queen. So the big news now is you just released your self-titled album. It just came out. I've listened to all the tracks. Of course, Drinking Double, I found that after I had listened to Jamie. And I love, I mean, there's so many good songs on there. All of them are good. All of them kind of have a different kind of style. Beautiful Lie, Like That, Whiskey's All I Do. But right now, Jamie is your current release, and it's number 62 on the TCMA chart. I mean, it listened, what's it, 2 weeks on the chart, but it moved up 63 spots this last reporting period. So congratulations on that. It's
Thanks, a great song.
I loved it when I found it. So now I want to hear the story from you about this, because I saw, you know, the write-up and the backstory when Jamie was released, but I got to hear the whole thing. So let me have it.
Yeah. So back when I was young, oh gosh, I guess 10 or 11, there was a little local karaoke bar about 6 miles from our house that my parents would always go to on the weekends. And I remember there was always this girl named Jamie who would always kind of sing either before me or after me. It always ended up that way. And she was super talented as well. And as a kid, I just had a thing for this girl. And it just kind of, it was just every weekend we just end up singing karaoke together. And so I thought, man, now 20 something years later, that would be a fun story to bring up. And what would it kind of look like if all that happened today? And so what's crazy is that I'm still in contact with Jamie, and like, she's married, has beautiful kids, and living her life. And I was like, hey, I come up with this idea for a song and I wanted to run it by you. And she was like, go for it. Like, that's a cool idea. And so like, she loves the song just as much as my wife or everybody I've pitched it to before recording it. So it was kind of neat how that all worked out.
Monday to Friday's on the square. She's waiting tables 9 to 5. Clocks out, backs up that fender. To go sing your favorite Patsy Cline. I heard a voice a few doors down, brought me chills and a smile. That moonlit night I started dreaming of that woman singing by my side. But what Jamie don't know won't hurt her. What Jamie don't know she won't care.
So all the songs that are on your new self-titled album that was just released, did you write or co-write all of those?
Yeah, so two of them were co-written with my cousin. So Drinking Double and Whiskey's All I Do. My cousin Hunter May actually wrote those songs together. He's been wanting to get in songwriting for a while. And he's very good. He's a lot better at the drinking songs than I am on my side of things. So I'm a more love song and heartbreak type person. But I was like, hey, I need to dive into the drinking song aspect of Texas country. I was like, can you help me out? Hunter was like, I got you. So,
love it.
So about this spring, he came up with this idea, Drinking Double, about a relationship that one of his friends had. And the only way he could get around it was kind of drinking more at the house on the weekends. And that's how kind of Drinking Double kind of spilt out. And I was like, man, we have to put this out for summer because it could be like a big summer song for us. And it was, as far as like, we just wanted to kind of spill it out on Spotify before we actually released it on the album. So people got a good taste of that.
Well, that's great. So when I listen to your voice, I hear a lot of different things, but one thing I really hear is Wade Bowen.
That's a huge compliment. He is one of my all time favorites. So.
And I will tell you what it reminded me of was, and there's only a couple of others that I've had this reaction, but when I heard your voice, when I previewed Jamie and then started listening, started digging to find anything I could find, that was the feeling I felt when I first listened to Wade Bowen, when I was in radio, when I was a programmer and previewing his music when it first came down. And then I'll never forget the first time I heard him stand at a mic and that voice came out. I was like, oh my gosh. So yeah, I hear a lot, but you still have your own kind of sound, but there's just something about, I don't know, I can't put it into words. If everyone listens to your music, they're going to know what I'm talking about. So I'm just so happy that we have you in Texas music. And so you're playing some shows, and I know you were with Ken Foe this past weekend.
Yeah, so we just did the album release Friday near my hometown in Waco, and a good amount of people came out just to support. Ken Foe has been this working relationship that started back in March, kind of a last minute. They needed a last minute opener back in March. And I think I've played with them 5 or 6 times now. Rico of Ken Foe is just one of the most amazing.
I love him.
He's one of the most amazing frontmen in Texas country today. All of them are some of the nicest guys you'll ever meet.
They are so funny. And Rico's fiddle playing is beyond. Oh my gosh. It's just
top
amazing.
Notch. Yes, absolutely. So, it was good to celebrate the album with them and just be with some of my best friends that I've met in Texas country so far. So
they are really awesome. I had them on the podcast early on and they made me laugh so hard. I snorted. Yes, they made me laugh so hard that I snorted because they are just that funny. I had the whole fam damley was on, all of all kid folk. Yes, they were great. So how are your live shows going? What do you do as far as your set list and as far as what you have going on the stage?
Yeah, so we've kind of been playing a lot of like 90-minute to 2-hour shows. Of course, this past Friday was an opening set for Ken Foe, but we are blending as much as we can as far as like the influences. I try to put as much Wade Bowen in as I can just because I'm a Wade Bowen freak. But as far as like most of Randy and Wade stuff, when I was in my early ages as a kid, like I grew up on 90s country. Around Garth Brooks was like my first concert I ever went to back in College Station. And so we played a lot of Garth hits. One of the things I actually do with Ken Foe is we play Callin' Baton Rouge together. And that just like,
oh my gosh,
it ended up where we finished the night Friday night with Callin' Baton Rouge. And like people could just not stop talking about it, which was really awesome. But just to kind of share that, my influence with them and the fans, it was really cool. But now that we have this album out, if you come to a live show now, you're going to hear a lot of the new stuff and stuff that we have on the back burner that we're ready to release in 2022.
So, oh, good.
Lots of material still to be put out. So
we'll be right back.
If you love good music and good podcasts, you'll love Roots Music Rambler. I'm Jason Falls. My co-host Francesca Folinazzo and I talk to the singers, songwriters, musicians, and more in Americana, alt-country, bluegrass, folk, blues, and beyond. We share our own takes on the latest news in the space and recommend new music for you to explore every episode. Come get to the roots of the music you love. Find us at RootsMusicRambler.com or go wherever you get your podcasts and subscribe to Roots Music Rambler.
Awesome. How long did it take you to put this particular your album together?
Yeah. So as soon as we finished the EP, the 4-song EP in New Year's, we started writing for this one probably back in January or February. And I work with a company called Tune Designer out of Georgia, Covington, Georgia. It's ran by a guy named John Johnson, who worked on Brantley Gilbert's Modern Day Prodigal Son album together. And has a solid team of musicians up there to where the studio, I can actually work remotely with the studio. And so I can send them acoustic demo of the song and they chart it out. They call me to see, hey, what the feel of this song? How do you want it to sound? Mm-hmm. And then here in the studio in our home church, is where I kind of put my vocals to that and send it to them, and then they mix and master it, and then you have the finished product. So it's a really cool way to kind of put out music, and you don't, like, it's crazy how you don't have to necessarily be in Nashville these days. You can literally do it from your, from where you are. So
yes,
I would say the process of this album took about 6 to 8 months maybe of this year, and then because we were, it was finally done like the first week of August. So then we sent it out with Smith Music for distribution.
Very good. So it moved pretty fast.
Yeah, it was a quick thing. We needed to jump on the gun and get some more music out there.
Well, looking forward to seeing all the music that you have coming for us. So let's talk about where you are right now. Going into the show, we're talking about you're at your church right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'm a full-time ministry associate that I co-lead worship with my buddy Mark here at Temple Bible Church in Temple, Texas, and work here Monday through Thursday in the office and kind of ahead of their like social media and some of their website as well. But it's kind of opened the door for me to kind of work on this and work on what I do as far as my music on the weekends as well. But I don't think I've ever been at a church or on a staff who is just so supportive of just everything that I do musically. And people who gather around just to make sure that I have the right accountability and that I'm encouraged with what I do. It is just like a huge blessing to see what kind of,
yes,
the staff here is not just a staff. It's more of a family, and we stay close to one another and make sure that in all that we do, we support each other in it, which is really cool.
Yes. And you'll have that with you for the rest of your life and the rest of your career, whatever career you choose or whatever, yeah, you're going to be doing. I still have growing up in church and having family in the ministry and like adopted family, like my home church minister and his wife are literally like, because I've lost my dad, I've lost my grandparents. And it's like, I call them. I mean, they are my go-to, and they were who I worked under as far as ministry. So I just love your story, and I love what you're doing. And so let's talk about that. The difference between, so you're leading praise and worship, and everybody's just kind of, you know, focusing on their time with God and praising, and all of a sudden you're in front of a rowdy crowd.
Yeah.
You know, to where, so how did you transition, or you just do what you do?
Yeah. So, you know, Sunday through Thursday, I'm constant in the worship mindset of things. And one of the things that I like to do in my live shows is sing a song that we're looking at putting out next year. It's called Thank You, Lord. And the song is pretty much talks about the two biggest relationships in my life. And that's my life with my relationship with Jesus and the relationship with my wife back home. And it's kind of more of a prayer saying, God, thank you for the two things that get me through each and every day. And I get to kind of blend that with one of my favorite hymns, How Great Thou Art, at the end. And when you're in a bar setting, it kind of gets nervous when you get to that part of the song because you don't know how people are going to react to it. And I remember back in July, I did a birthday bash at a local tavern here, and there was about 300 people in this bar.
I think I saw that video.
And I started singing How Great Thou Art, and everybody started singing the song. And I was just like amazed at like they literally, like they were putting their beers down and just literally singing along with us. It's like, man, like it's really cool how God can literally work anywhere, you know?
That's right.
And so it doesn't matter necessarily what your backstory is, or what you've been through in life. Like, there's always opportunities for you. So it's really cool to see that happening in Texas country.
I was at a show that Neil McCoy was playing here locally. It was a fundraiser for one of our organizations. And he did just that too. He broke into some good old Southern gospel music and some hymns, and everybody stopped dancing. It was just like, we went to church.
Yeah.
It was just, it's beautiful. It's a beautiful thing. So that's awesome. So as far as growing up, were there any activities, sports or anything? Are you, what's your hobbies? What do you like to do when you're not doing what you do, which that's usually a stupid question for me to ask musicians because it's all about music. But
so I get really weird. It's really weird talking about sports in these Texas country interviews because I only have like one Texas team, and that's the Rangers. That's like my baseball team. Okay. I will say I follow Dallas Mavericks and San Antonio Spurs when it comes to basketball. But football, I'm an up north guy, and I'm a Green Bay Packer fan, and I have my reasons. So when I was 7, I had an uncle who actually worked in Milwaukee, and I never had a team at the time. And so he would always send me Green Bay Packer stuff for Christmas, and I just started watching guys like Brett Favre, Dorsey Levens, Reggie White, all these guys, and I just fell in love with Green Bay, and I've been a fan ever since. And I'm really glad they beat San Francisco at the very end of that game Sunday night, or I would have been very mad.
Well, I'm kind of with you on sports and baseball and fishing is my thing, and so I'm lifelong Astros.
Oh yeah,
I've got Astros memorabilia all around this other side, but yeah, it's just baseball is that's the thing. This is the last week of the regular season. Here we go. So yeah, well, good. That's a good thing. So any hobbies?
I fish every now and then. It's been a minute, but just watching sports and just me and my wife are movie gurus. We like to go see a lot of movies a lot. So she's really big into Halloween movies this time of year. So
really?
It's about to get very spooky at our house, and lots of Halloween movies about to come on the TV. So
yeah. And one other thing, I know I'm kind of jumping around, but I just feel like we're just like visiting and hanging out, and it's just such a joy to talk to you. Who were your musical influences?
Yeah. So, when I was a kid, Garth put on a live show was absolutely insane to me. I remember being in that arena at 7 years old and seeing a guy come out, like raise up from the middle of a piano.
That's crazy. And then
when he goes into standing outside the fire and the whole stage goes on fire, it's just like, how do you do these things? Like at 7, you're just amazed at what you see. But going into my teenage years, like my sister actually was the one that got me hooked on Texas country. And we were big cross Canadian ragweed fans. We listened to a lot of ragweed, and Stoney LaRue would always be playing around our area. And then after that, that's when I really caught on to Wade Bowen and just really fell in love with the catalog of music. So I'm just like trying to keep up with all these artists that are even coming into the thing now. I'm really loving some of the new guys like Tristan Merez, David Adam Burns.
Yes.
There's some other bands, the Teague Brothers. They're on our radio thing. They're putting out solid stuff. Hayden Haddock, guys like that is just really becoming inspirational to me too.
Yeah. And David Adam Burns, he has such a great story too.
Yeah,
he had him on the podcast, and it's amazing. So many of kind of the new faces that are coming up, it's that everyone's got that. And that's why everyone's loving Texas music right now, which I have since the very beginning of time, since the late 90s. But it's that 90s sound that y'all are bringing in, and it's original, and y'all are just nailing it. It's just an exciting time now for Texas music.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm really enjoying it. I didn't realize how big the 90s country sound was coming back until I went and saw Randall King a month ago and just fell in love with some of the new stuff he's putting out. That new song, Baby Do, or something like that, that he just put out a couple weeks ago, is probably one of my wife and I's favorite songs. When it comes on, we turn it up really loud, but we get those 90s country vibes, so we like it a lot.
Well, I know there's a lot of people, I included, turning you up, so we're really looking forward to what the future is going to hold for you, and we'll be following Jamie up the charts, and of course, you've got the new self-titled album, Landon Heights, and where's the best place for people to find you?
Yeah, mostly landonheightsmusic.com, and then just make sure you hit the follow button on Spotify for us, and get some open doors for us on the road. So,
but it's such great, great music. And so it's been wonderful visiting with you, and we look forward to seeing what the future holds, and we're going to have you back on.
That sounds good.
Come back on so we can keep
up. Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll make it happen.
Thank you, Landon.
Thank you.
Well, there you have it. Another great episode of Texas Toast. If you've made it this far, just wanted to say thank you to all of you who have been listening and spreading the word about us. If you'd like to support the show, whether it be through sponsorship or by subscribing on YouTube or by giving us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, that'd be great. Anything and everything helps. We're just getting this thing rolling with no end in sight and have some incredible interviews lined up for all of you. So please help us get the word out. We'll see you next time on Texas Toast.
From as she left, I dare to say, well, you can go to hell. Hell, I'll go to Texas. I've had my fill of every place but home. Well, take away these city lights, put me on a one-way flight. I'm leaving out of hell tonight. Just consider me. Southern drawl.